Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, August 20th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page XXX, the second paragraph, starting with the classification of alcoholics, reading through four paragraphs, ending with, to suggest is entire abstinence. We'll be commenting on all four paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Liz T., 12 Traditions, Lois P., reader of the text will be Donna W., and DNR will read page 164. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,185. And for this morning, August 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, reference number is 15,191. That's 15191. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Nadia B., and announcements will be Robin P. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. And I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. This is Lois P., recovered in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXX, the second paragraph, starting with the classification of alcoholics, reading through 4 paragraphs, and ending to suggest is entire abstinence. We're going to be commenting on all 4 paragraphs there in the doctor's opinion. I will now ask Donna W. to begin reading. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be recovered, abstinent, and part of this program today. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. There is the type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. There is the type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. There is the manic depressive type who is perhaps the least understood by his friends and then about whom a whole chapter could be written. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, and friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So let's see, there are a few things that jump out at me in these 4 paragraphs. One, of course, I am the able and intelligent and friendly type, that I'm normal in every respect. That's what I would like to think. And of course, being part of program and working in these steps, I've learned I'm not. There's a lot about this classification. And throughout the book, they talk about different types of alcoholics. They talk about that in the chapter to the wives and to the employers, and there's a few other places. I haven't been able to do a complete correlation with all the different types to see if they all line up. But, you know, what this says to me is I spent a lot of years in the food trying to figure out, like, what was wrong with me. I thought if I could just figure out why I eat, then maybe I could figure out this food thing. And what I've learned in program is I need that entire abstinence. I need to put down the food. And then, as Harlan says, then I get to feel better. I get to feel my sadness better, my anger better, my shame better. And then I get to start dealing, working the steps and dealing with all of those. If entire abstinence is key, but, you know, I'm an addict, and that's only half of the story. You know, it was huge to learn that I have an allergy, because I thought other people just had this this really strong willpower. You know, we'd go out to dinner, there'd be that basket of bread or chips or something on the table, and other people could just have a few or a one, and, like, that basket, the food in it would be talking to me, screaming at me, insisting I finish it all. And I just couldn't understand how other people could withstand that intense craving and obsession. But, you know, if it was a matter of just saying, hey, like, I'm allergic to shellfish, it swells up my throat, I can't breathe, I'm going to put it down. You know, no, you know, it's not enough to even just know that I have an allergy, because now I have all this ease and this restless irritability and discontent that I get to work on, because that's what drives me with that mental twist, that mental obsession to keep wanting these foods that cause me all these problems. It's just insanity, isn't it? So, you know, it also tells me that as much as I go into the food, I have that remorse, that self-pity. I know that feeling real well. And then I make a resolution. And it's telling me here that, you know, even if I'm remorseful and making resolutions, I'm not making the decision. I'm still not changing. But I've also learned in the book that even decisions aren't enough, because I can make a decision. I go to step three, I make a decision to turn my life and my will over to God. But still, that's not enough. I need to take action. And on the previous page, I'll just wrap up. Dr. Silkworth talks about, I just need to follow a few simple rules, which, as we know, are the 12 steps. So it's not just enough to feel remorse. I need to make a decision, and then I need to take action, and that action is working this program to the best of my ability. And with that, I pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share today.
Thank you so much, Donna W. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit what you share. You limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And now we're going to open up the lines for other people to share. We're on page XXX in the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph. We're starting off with the classification of alcoholics. We're reading through four paragraphs, ending with to suggest is entire abstinence. We're going to be commenting on all four paragraphs. Who would like to share this morning?
Bruce E.
Linda.
Bruce E. Linda.
Terry S.
Dion R.
Terry S. Dion R.
Margo. Margo B.
Margo B.
Mm-hmm. Johan N.
Johan N.
Malky G.
Malky G. And we'll stop there with that lineup. We have Bruce E., Linda, and if I could get your initial, Terry S., Dion R., Margo B., Johan N., and Malky G. And we'll start with Bruce E., followed by Linda. Good morning, Bruce.
Well, good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida. Let's see. Well, there's a lot to talk about there. I need more than 3 minutes. Can you give me 3 minutes and 5 seconds? That's a joke. I can't ask for special privileges on this call. We're all equal. Okay, I'll take 3 minutes. Glad to get to 3 minutes. So, okay, but there is a lot to talk about here in this one. And a couple of them stuck out at me, these different classifications of people when about always making a decision, you know, always trying to do the thing and never really making a decision. And I was that way for 25 years in the program, over 25 years, never really made a decision to put all the foods down that were alcoholic, and to really work the program like my hair was on fire. I didn't want to do the work, you know. I didn't want to put all the foods on. I didn't want to do all the work. So I never really made that decision. But it goes on here and names those different types, of which I am to some degree part of all of those. And especially the one that, you know, try to have different changes, brands, and, you know, different ways of doing things. Try to always do something myself, and none of that ever worked, you know. Different food plan or different diet or whatever, that never worked. But it goes on to say here, I think one of the important things about this is they cannot stop drinking without developing the phenomena of craving. So any time that I use the alcoholic foods, I'm always going to get the phenomena of craving. It's just like they're saying here. If you're doing the drinking, you're an alcoholic, you're doing the drinking, you're going to get the phenomena of craving. Because I'm allergic to those specific foods. And if I use them, what's going to follow is a phenomena of craving. Because I have the allergy to those. And what the allergy causes the phenomena of craving. Allergy being the physical, phenomena of craving being the more the spiritual, emotional, psychological. So I can't start eating those foods without developing the phenomenon of craving, even one, even a little bit, okay, because I've got the allergy. And, I appreciate all of this reading here. It's very, very good. Entirely believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. Okay, thanks for giving me that 3 minutes, 5 seconds. All right, I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Mm-hmm. And now we'll have Linda. And if you could give me the initial of your last name.
Hi, I sure.
Go ahead.
I sure can. This is Linda P. as in Paul. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and so happy to be on this line this morning. Thank you, everybody, for being here. What a powerful reading this is. I identified a lot with a lot of it. And I think I can identify with most of the types, the first being unwilling to admit that he can, that the person cannot take a drink. And I, you know, in planning various ways of drinking, changing his brand or his environment, that was so me. I would try anything. And I mean, 20 years of doing that. And it really just does not work. Always led to the binge. Even in a program that I had a very, very strict food plan with and was using, believe it or not, like sweet and low mixed with cocoa, and thinking that this was okay, you know, this is okay, this is not really a food. And that would always lead me to a binge. Plus, it was a big fat lie that I didn't tell my sponsor. Then the paragraph that says, you know, then there are the types entirely normal in every respect, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. And this reminds me of, you know, the garden variety type. And I think it's best for me to think of myself that way, that I'm not unique, I'm special. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the next paragraph I love because it says what we doesn't matter what type we are, what we all have in common, we cannot start drinking / eating without developing the phenomena of craving. And I'll tell you, make sure that I had a food dream and dream ordered. They had ordered French fries. I hope it's okay if I say that. I was proud of my dream.
Linda, you're kind of cutting out. So we're not getting all
okay.
The words that you're saying. Is there
is
an adjustment you could make?
Yeah, I think so. How is this?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. There's a little bit of bad connection in the place I live now. Anyways, in the dream, I ordered a lesser type of food that everybody else was eating that I thought was abstinent, and all at once I realized I was eating potato chips, and within one moment I had the phenomena of craving. And when I woke up, I thought, wow, I'm so happy that's in my subconscious, that I actually know that, you know, in the kind of in the depths of my soul. And last, just that the only relief we have is entire abstinence. And that I really believe. I've tried so many other ways, and this is really the only way that works, is to really put it down. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Linda P. And now we'll have Terry S. followed by Dion R. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry S., recovering food addict in Bend, Oregon. Always such a delight to read the big book together with all of you. I've been all these types. I kind of resented being called a psychopath in the beginning. But what really stuck out to me today is there's the type who always believes that after being entirely free from food for a period of time, she can take a bite without danger. I was led to believe that not only within my own addicted mind, but nutritionists, doctors, my family, friends, society, and therapists all told me, you know, you can heal, or no, my parents didn't say that, but you can get to a point where the obsession will be gone and you can have one dessert a week, or you can follow the 80-20 rule. Well, I'm sorry, but it turns into 100% sugar rule if I try to do the 20%. And I remember one year in Flagstaff where a nutritionist told me, plan your dessert for one day a week. Well, I don't have to tell you guys how obsessive I became with what I would pick, what day I would eat it, and what meal I would eat it with. I was insane. And I wasn't in OA. That's when I was relapsing and out of OA for 15 years. And I look back now and I'm like, wow, I really, really believe that. I wanted to believe that. And it wasn't until I came back into the rooms, started working the steps, working with a sponsor, put down my alcoholic foods, that I'm very clear on what they are, that the magic started to happen. The miracle started taking place. The obsession is removed most of the time. I'm making progress, and I don't have to play these kind of games anymore, and I don't listen to those people that think you can somehow control this, or with enough self-knowledge, you can survive the devastation of this addiction. And I'm just so grateful to my higher power that I've come to this knowledge, this heart knowledge, that this is how it is for me. And I've surrendered and given up the idea that I can do it differently. So thank you, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Terry S. Now we'll have Dion R. followed by Margot B. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Don. Thank you, and thank you for your service. Hi, everyone. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm just so enthused about this paragraph and hearing everyone share how I thought it was an insult as well in the beginning. It says psychopath? Oh, child, no. I could be anything else, but not that. But, and I knew there was all types, you know. And it said, to me, when it says emotionally unstable, you know, those are the ones, you know, they say they're always going to say, I'm going to do this, over remorseful, you know, but never take action. I never thought that was a psychopath, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Or just saying, I'm going to do this, by golly. Never did it. Then the denial. Next paragraph, talk about the denial type. That ain't me. You know, I'm breaking chairs and everything else and run clothes, busting out of my clothes. But, oh, it's not me. It's cheap clothes. You know, it's not me. All that kind of denial that I was getting from symptoms of evil. And also, and this is playing various ways of binging or eating. I'll try to do it this way, only eat a little bit. I'll change my environment. You know, all those insanity, doing the same thing, all expecting different results. Then the bipolar type. I mean, manic depressive type, who's his friends say, now, didn't she just say she was going on a diet? And why is she eating that pie, the whole pie? And then it goes all down to, you know, to me, that's just the bipolar type. And then it goes down to the ones who looks normal. I mean, we got engineers, we got all type of people, doctors in the program, but one thing we have in common, oh, my God, we have an allergy. We are all compulsive overeaters. That once we ingest that food, a binge or whatever, the manifestation of that allergy comes. And it differentiates from our colleagues or whoever else. Because why? We are compulsive overeaters. Our problem won't be eradicated unless we have an entire abstinence. We got to have the food down. Our binge, and for me, the binge behavior. If I'm doing binge behavior, it's going to lead me right back to that food behavior. And the only suggestion after I have the food down, the entire afternoon, what the doctor was talking about, what the people did in the back then, we got right into action. Well, they did. The first 100 got right into action of working the 12 steps. That's the solution. But I tried. It's like research and development. I'm seeing me over the last 20 years before I surrendered. I did all that research and development before I finally said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. How can I tell someone else to change if I'm not? And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thank you for allowing me to share and be of service today.
Thank you, Dion R. Margot B. will now share, followed by Johan N. Good morning, Margot.
Hi. Thank you so much. Hi, my name is Margot, compulsive overeater. Just really wanted to claim my seat. Thank you, everybody, for your service, all the shares around the room. Oof, so much is going through my head, as usual, having a lot of anxiety, and it's because of this particular thing, and then what is that really about? Fear of rejection, fear of comment, fear of lack of approval from others, story. And what came to my heart when I heard the reading was the three word craving. Like, this disease reminded me when I first crawled into these rooms that the disease of more, you know, give me more love, give me more attention, give me more approval, give me more accolades, give me more food, give me more drink, give me more work, you know, the why. Where does this all come from? It stems from this disease of more because of a disease of self-hatred and self-loathing for me. And who healed me? My God healed me, you know, my God healed me. A minute at a time, a day at a time, whatever the reprieve is. Yes, definitely the physical, emotional, spiritual components, the physical. That one is too many, aren't not enough. I used to say that all the time. I had no idea what it meant. And then it finally clicked. And that's how God works, man. He makes it, you know, he makes me ready when it's ready. His time, his will. Which, of course, is never fast enough for me, but that's another story. Because of why. Again, that self-image. That home soul. So let me fill it with the more, you know. And it's never enough, you know. I have to take anything, even the tools of this program, and use it as a weapon against myself. And that self-awareness has been so important. I didn't even know it. And then I hear my sponsor say, you know, you're doing blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, I get in fights with them, you know, because I don't hear it. I don't see it. That's all I know. And I guess the other thought that came to my heart is that it's really, yeah, for me, my solution is God. This book is about finding God, and it's about me trusting him. I always have faith because I have to trust. Like, really, Lord? Like, you know? Anyway, I'm all over the place, and I know it has to do with the delusions and the lies that I tell myself. And it's only, you know, it's only through God that we can smash all these delusions. I just need to be willing to have them smashed. And, yeah. And also, my sponsor loves 301, right? Just all over the place. I'm just grateful to share. Thank you for letting me claim my seat. And thank you, everybody. God bless. Bye. I'm done. Pass.
Thank you, Margot. And now we'll have Johan N., followed by Melky G. Good morning, Johan.
Hi, good morning. This is Johan N., calling from Sweden. Sunny Sweden for a change. yeah, and thank you so much for service. I love these meetings, and there's so much in this text today, and I can just identify and identify myself and see myself in all of it. I mean, this is exactly how it was. Over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. Exactly like that. That was exactly like it was. Because I didn't want to put the food down. I wanted to find a way to eat and to stay thin. and then it goes on and says that he plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. And I tried all that as well, you know, because I didn't want to put the food down. I wanted to find a way where I could eat and I could manage my life as well. And then it goes on and talking about this phenomenon of craving and the physical allergy. And when I came to OA, in the beginning, they told me that, people told me that this is hard. This is food, and it's hard. And, well, it is hard, and it is food. But at the same time, it's necessary for me to put the food down in order to start to work the steps. And I know what my alcoholic food is. I know that. And I need to get honest about that. And when I did get honest about that, then I committed to the program. And then I did the steps in full. And I had a spiritual experience. So today I can be abstinent, which is a miracle. I live one day at a time as a recovered compulsive overeater, free from obsession. And it's just it's a miracle. I've been in the program since beginning of 2019 in OA, and since end of May that same year I've been abstinent, and that's soon coming to 15 months. So I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for this meeting, and it really works. I need to put the food down. I need to be completely honest with my plan of eating, with my food plan, and I need to work the steps. And I need to work the steps quickly to get into the solution. And then it really works. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Johan. And now we're going to have Melky G share. And when Melky G is done sharing, I'm going to be taking more names. So be ready if you'd like to share. And you haven't shared in the last 3 days. Go ahead, Melky G.
Hi, good morning. It's Melky G from New Jersey. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. I made so many resolutions. Every day I was there. I always made resolutions. I always reached rock bottom. I didn't know how much further rock bottom can go. I was always living in remorse. Always remorse. I was done. I was going to do anything. What really helped me get to the place different of making a resolution or a decision is there's no turning back at all, is I listened to there was a special edition on compliance versus surrender. And that really touched something in me. Compliance is I will comply. Everything's cognitively in my head. And I work very well in my head. My whole disease lies in my head. And I
heard everything and I figured everything out. And I was just complying and complying. And complying only lasts that long, because complying is just following directions, and that's still self-will. And self-will just kept draining me over and over, and then I would end up over-remorseful again. Till I got to the place in hearing, surrendering, when I was really done, I had to get into my gut. Because a decision that I was going to stick with, that I wasn't going to keep jumping back and back, had to come from the gut, because that's where my recovery is going to grow and be born. Had to be all the information in my head, all the figuring out in my head, all the decisions in my head, all the remorse in my head that I'm done, did nothing until I was able to feel it in every fiber of my being. And that's where my recovery lies. It lies in my gut. It's a spiritual program. That's where my whole is. And that's where I had to really, that's really where my decision had to come from. And I also got stuck with the first line. It said the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail outside the scope of this book. I thought I had to figure out where I classify. And I spent a lot of time trying to classify myself. A, my food plan, can I eat like this? Can I not eat like this? And I keep hearing on the lines, there's no chapter in the big book of figuring out. I just had to come in. I had to surrender. I had to make that decision from my gut. It was in me. There was no one that was going to pull me out of this, and nothing. And I came to that place. And as I started recovering, I figured out my disease, and I figured who I am and what my disease and where I classified. But I did not have to figure it out before. I spent way too long trying to figure out which type I am and why I'm like this, and if I understand and know the reason and figure out where I classify, then I can move along. And I got just stuck in that, in the rat race that whole time in my head. And it says right here in the big book, the classification of alcoholics is most difficult. I don't try to figure it out today. Thanks for listening. That I pass.
Thank you, Milky G. And now we're going to open up the lines. We are on page XXX in the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph. It starts with the classification of alcoholics, reading through four paragraphs, ending with to suggest is entire abstinence, commenting on all four paragraphs. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Jordan L. Santa A.
Santa H. I missed some people in there. I have Melanie C., Jordan L., Santa H. Who else did I miss?
Jody
E. Aaron F.
Jody E., Aaron F. Anyone else? Let's go ahead with those
Nancy
six.
L.
Was that Nancy L.?
Yes, ma'am.
You're really breaking up, so maybe you could adjust your line a little bit, kind of cutting out. Okay, let's go with Melky G., Melanie C., Jordan L., Santa H., Jody E., Aaron F., and Nancy, if we have time for Nancy. All right, Melky, good morning.
I think Melky just shared just a moment ago.
I'm sorry, that's correct. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Melanie C. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Yeah, you bet. Thanks. Thanks, Don, for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I liked being able to read this when I did, because I was able to kind of keep myself in my head to think about what was truly wrong with me. And it certainly, you know, wasn't my fault or whatever. And I wanted to be a psychopath. Oh, my goodness, because then everything would be not my responsibility, not my fault. And yet when I dug into this deeper, I could see that the doctor, being a neurosurgeon for his field of study, would, you know, kind of say, yeah, there's some things, you know, there's some stuff going on here. And yeah, we could kind of look at it. He's somewhat vague, really, about it in these several paragraphs. But he wanted to point out to me that really what we want to focus on is what we all have in common. And that is the biggest piece for the qualifier here, Melanie. So you want to dig into that a little bit deeper, what the qualifier would be and what that particular thing looks like. So it'd be easier for me to separate what I had grown to know for 5 decades was a diet mentality. And I don't do that disparagingly, but that's what was introduced to me. That's the way I was handling it. This is what I learned in my formidable years with my family members and things like that, is if I did this, then I would have that. And we were all the same. So you know, keep working harder at this sort of thing. So he's saying what the most important thing is, if you want to address the issue around this, then move this substance out like Bill did, because I ate like Bill drank. Move these specific key ingredients out of the way. Then you'll be able to wrap yourself around what this disease really looks like. And then you'll have a solution that works every single time. It masks itself as diet. It masks itself as food. It masks itself as all these other things, emotions and all that sort of thing. But what he's trying to point it out in that it's on page 23 is it really, truly, truly, truly is centering in the mind, absolutely centering in the mind. Everything begins there. So what comes from there needs to be addressed and looked at. And then on page 30, it says, none of us want to think that we're different. That's how come it takes so long to get here for me. I didn't want to think that I was different from anybody else. I didn't know how to address it. I didn't certainly have a solution for that. But the beauty of this is that we continue to simplify this thing, Melanie. We're going to simplify this thing and take you clear over to page 44, from 23 to 30 to 44 in your big book, and here's a qualifier. And then all this other monkey chatter can be settled. And then follow the directions that somebody's going to teach you from the big book, and you'll be free. And the directions are, the qualifiers are simply this. This is it, Melanie. If when you want to say want to, you find you can't stop from starting. And once started, you have little control over how much. You're an addict. Zip zero. Now where are we going to go with this? And everything else needs to spring from that. And man, was I free. Absolutely free. I knew it wasn't my fault. There was a solution that worked on the central operating system in my brain, and everything came from that, and I was free. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. And now we'll have Jordan L. followed by Santa H.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. So I can definitely identify with all the types at any given moment throughout any given week. That just sort of is what it is, right? And I really appreciate all the shares and describing like what that looks like, in our lives and the life of a compulsive overeater. But I really hone in on that last paragraph, and specifically this phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. I fought that for a really long time. I remember coming into Overeaters Anonymous, and I remember sitting in a live meeting in a circle, and I remember hearing other people talk about food and what they did with it and being able to relate for the first time ever. Like they were being honest about these weird behaviors that they had around food, most specifically or most often overeating gross amounts of food. Like gross in both ways, pun intended, right? Gross amounts of food, large amounts of food, and describing like really specifically what that looked like. So and I remember being able to relate to that. I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, how could you admit that in a room in front of all these people, you know? But that's how it is that happened. That's why it is that I can admit that same thing today. That I would sit there and eat multiple pints of ice cream at a time. I would sit there and eat on top of like family size bags of chips and things like that, you know? And I heard these people sort of like fessing up to this, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that's the distinct entity. That's how it is that we are different from these people around us, who I had been listening to for advice on how to like kick the habit of compulsive overeating. So it was very, very important for me to understand and realize that these people did not understand this phenomenon of craving that occurred in my body, where I actually get the food that satiates other people, it actually makes me more hungry. That's how I identify this phenomenon of craving inside my body, right? And then I can't listen to those people who don't understand that. I need to start coming here and listening here on how it is that that I can recover from this. I can truly be well. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jordan L. And I misjudged the time. We're probably only going to have time for two more shares. So Santa H., Jody E., we'll have time for you. Aaron F. and Nancy E., I'm so sorry, but please come back tomorrow and share. So go ahead, Santa H. and Jody E., if you would both take about two and a half minute shares, that would be great. Thank you so much. Santa H.
Good morning, my fellows, and thank you, Dawn, for the opportunity to be able to share this morning. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. And, you know, the doctor mentioned approximately five types of individuals, and I'm sure the doctor could probably come up with more. And to think back over my eating career, that I was all of these at one time. I mean, I was mentally institutionalized for mental illness, and so I used that as an excuse when I first came into this program that I couldn't be completely honest. And I used all of these as an excuse, and they were believable at the time. I make resolutions, but never decision. I remember doing that before I came into program because I didn't know the solution. I didn't know that it was all of what I was experiencing, all the emotional changes that I was going to had anything to do with food. I just thought that I just coming here just to lose weight, not coming here for a spiritual solution, realizing that I was, you know, not a sane person when it comes to food. And so, you know, the solution is very simple. The answer is very simple. What a doctor says that, you know, there's just one thing in common, and that's the phenomenon of craving that we all develop. And there is one solution, and that was for me is to be entirely abstinent. And that started in step one. And that started with being honest with what I really shouldn't be eating. And to stop completely trying to control food, which I did for many years in this program, for most of the years I've been in this program. I've only been here for 7 years, not that long. So, you know, this is
time.
Great information to know. Oh, wow. Thank you. Didn't realize that. Okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Santa H. And Jody would now have you share. And please take just like a minute share, if you would, minute and a half. Thank you, Jody.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn. Thanks, everybody. Welcome. And my name is Jody E., and a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. As many others have said, I, too, can relate to each of these types of alcoholics. I have been each of these types at one time or another. And I, too, resonate with the final paragraph, which says that we cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. So it's less important what type I am than that I am one. I am a real compulsive overeater. And when I start eating certain foods and ingredients, I can't stop. And I do need to identify what those ingredients and foods are, and I do need to abstain from them, which may seem impossible at first, but once we become ready and willing to do so and get them out of our system, then we can deal with the mental problem by working all 12 steps and maintaining that recovery by living in steps 10, 11, and 12. It really does work. And you too can do it, just as each of us who have recovered have done it. So I wish you all very well and willingness today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E., and thank everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Donna W. please read A Vision for You, our Big Book? Our book was meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Hi, this is Donna W. Our
book
is meant
to be on our. Oh, go ahead. All right.
Yeah, Donna W.
Go ahead, Dion. Oh, okay, great. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much.